Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful gathered here. Fill us to overflowing. May each of us be willing to open our ears and our hearts, our souls, to hear what you would have us to hear. We ask this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Today is the Sunday of joy in Advent. Now, some of you who've been raised in the church and know what Advent is, and you've been living in your life around an Advent wreath, you know that today is not the Sunday of joy. Preacher, you messed up again. You messed up last week because peace was not the week last week. You've messed up. Everybody knows that it's supposed to go hope, love, joy, and peace. And you're going peace, joy. Is this whole Christmas season going to be messed up by you? Yes, it is. I take the credit. I really do. You see, Christmas is about a surprise. It's about being flexible because something's going to happen and we're going to have to bend a little. Really, the reason we're doing it in this order is because we're commemorating the 200th anniversary of Silent Night. And the first verse is, Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. That has to do with peace. The third verse has to do with joy, glory streaming. This has to do with shepherds. And there's joy. And then we're going to talk about love and hope. That's the real reason. It has nothing to do with me trying to mess with you. Really. But we're talking about Advent. We have these strange words in the church, don't we? Nobody else uses these words. For us, Christmas does not start till the 25th of December. For the rest of the world, it starts the day after Halloween. Some people have had their Christmas trees pulled out of the attic or out of their garage since about the 1st of November. I know the Lowe's and Home Depot have had them up since the day after of Halloween. It's that kind of way. And most of us, by December 26th, are trying to figure out how we can get that dead tree to the curb. Or back in the attic, or back in the closet. We who are part of churches and work at churches, we're trying to figure out what to do with dead poinsettias. You can't keep these suckers alive. You either drown them or you starve them to death. I mean, it's just, you can't keep them alive. And so we want to get them out too. And so we miss the 12 days of Christmas. But life goes on. Life goes on. Today we're looking at joy. Joy. It's an interesting word to come. But the glory of the Lord shone around about them. That's the way Luke calls it. The word glory appears in the Old and New Testament. You see it a lot. And usually when it's associated in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's something dealing with shining. There's a dealing with light. God's presence. God's deliverance. God's strength. It's like a pillar of fire by night. It's a burning bush. And now there's a star. There's angels bringing and singing and shining. They show us the proper response, which is glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The presence and power of God in our midst is that of which we sing praise. That's what we do. That's what Moses did. He took off his shoes. That's what Joshua did when he met the man. He took off his shoes and fell down and sang glory. But the shepherds, now that's a different story. The King James Version, which is the only right version, says that they were sore afraid. That's the way we learned it, I think. Most of us learned it. They were sore afraid. They were terrified. They were scared. If somebody had asked them, if you're scared, say scared, they would have said scared. Because they were. They probably were scared before anything happened. How many of you have ever lived in the country? Who've ever lived in a place where there was not a street light or night light and there was no neighbor nearby that you could see the lights from that house? If you've ever lived that way, it's dark when the sun goes down. It really is. You can't see anything. You really can't. But just imagine that's the way you live your life. Now, if you want to know what the weather is like in Bethlehem, it's like the weather in Atlanta. That's what we tell the people when we go to the Holy Land. They say, how am I supposed to dress? You say, dress like you would if you were in Atlanta. It's cold sometimes in the morning, and it gets a little warmer, so wear a lot of layers. So if you can imagine your job is to look after sheep outside, you can think about looking after sheep last night in Dunwoody. I don't know about you, but that wouldn't have been real pleasant. Things happen when it gets dark. Things happen in your mind when it gets dark. I don't like when they turn the clocks back in the fall. It gets dark too late, early. It gets heavy when it's dark. You see, when it gets dark and you're out in the field looking after sheep, things begin to prowl. There are things that want the things that you were looking after. There are wild animals that want to kill the things that you are looking after. There are also people who want to steal the things you're looking after. And there are also wild things and people who will do you harm. And so, that's what they have to look forward to every single night. That doesn't seem like a pleasant night to you. Makes us really enjoy our sleep number beds, doesn't it? But that's their night. But these shepherds, they aren't the owner of the land and they are not the owner of the sheep. They aren't really even an employee. They are an indentured servant. My New Testament professor, he used to say that what they were thought of by the society in that day would be similar to what we used to say about carnival workers or migrant workers. They would come and they would go and they got paid next to nothing. They were the lowest of the low, had nothing. And so they were entrusted with the sheep. And so when all the ruckus began, it seemed probably apocalyptic to them. It was like shock and awe. They were truly afraid. They had never experienced anything like that. And we haven't either if we had been the shepherds. But the beauty of it is when the angel of the Lord said, good news. Fear not. Fear not. Aren't those great words? I love it when somebody would... When I was a teenager, one time I was with somebody and I let my mouth overload myself. Have y'all ever done that? Some of you guys I know have done it. Sammy Turner I know did. But, and then all of a sudden someone comes up behind you who I know that can protect you. That is a great feeling of comfort. The angel of the Lord says, fear not. Fear not. For someone is over here. Fear not, because the Lord is with you. You see, something happens when we're afraid. Can you think back to what you were doing and what you were thinking on 9/11, 2001? I don't know about you, but I was afraid. What's next? What's next? When one tower hit, a second tower hit, the Pentagon hit, all these things happening, you're wondering what's happening next, and you're looking for help, you're looking for somebody to say, fear not. We were wondering. I guess it was somewhat like, might have been this past week, the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Fear. But the angel says, fear not, for I am with you. The Lord is with us. You see, fear can rob us of our peace, and fear can rob us of our joy. It truly can. And the angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. Good news of great joy, which will be to all people. All people. Not just to those who are educated and have all the right things and all the right possessions and live on the right side of the track and all that. The beauty of the story is that the angel is telling it to the least of all. The least of all. Not to the ones that we would choose, but to the least of all. Born this day as a Savior for you, who is Christ the Lord. It's amazing to me that God chose shepherds to be the first evangelists. Isn't that amazing? Because those shepherds went and saw the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, just as they were told, and they went and told other people. Fear not. There is joy to be had in the presence of God. Knowing that God is with us, knowing that Jesus is our Savior, we can have joy. We can look at the world differently. Amen? We should be looking at the world differently. I know many of you did, because I did, and y'all always do what I do. This past week, I watched a lot of the events with the death of President George H.W. Bush. I watched the service at the Rotunda at the Capitol, and I watched the service at the National Cathedral, and I watched the funeral service at his church in Houston. All of those were amazing services. And I wept through most of them. I truly did. Between the music, between the words, between the scripture, the way it was presented was just absolutely moving. But one of the speeches or Vice President Mike Pence gave, he talked about his son. He had just performed a tail hook landing on the USS George H.W. Bush, that ship. His son had done that. He was getting ready to get his wings or whatever he was supposed to be getting. And so Mike Pence wrote a letter to President Bush and sent a picture of the flight deck of the ship and asked President Bush if he would autograph it, even though he had stopped doing that sort of thing, and just wrote a letter about his son. President Bush sent back to Mike Pence's son the picture signed, and then in the then in the letter he wrote, he said, may all your days be taboo. That is right. It's the initials. It's an acronym. It stands for Ceiling and Visibility Unlimited. It's what every pilot wants. Unlimited ceiling, unlimited visibility, because it's a perfect day to fly. And they emphasize the fact that George H.W. Bush, he lived his life as if it was clear and visibility unlimited every day of his life. You see, that's an unbelievable thing to think that we as Christians should live that same way. As if it's clear and the ceiling is unlimited. Because that's who we can be in the life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because no matter what happens to us, we can know joy and we can know His peace in whatever we do. The question for us this morning, what brings you joy? Do you have joy in your life? If you don't, know that you can through a relationship with Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may each of us know joy. Know the joy that comes from You. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know that joy, we pray that You would move in a mighty way in their lives so that they might seek Your joy, Your peace, Your eternal life. Abide with them and abide with us. And we ask this in Your Son's holy name. Amen.